Hey y'all, movie retrospective time. Doing something a little bit different this time out. Doing an anime.
Yeah, it's a good one.
This is the first time we've done this, right? Mm-hmm. How I got the idea to do this one, which is Wicked City from 1987. Kind of a well-known one.
I had never seen this.
For many reasons, which we will get into. I think I actually first heard of this on Brandon Tenold's show, because he did a review of this a while back. And he also did a review of the live-action version, which came out in 1992, which I might get into a little bit, too. But, so I was like, man, that looks pretty fucked up. And even though I'm not super into anime, it just looked like a really cool-looking movie. And then I noticed when I was going through making lists for all the, you know, movie retrospective polls, I saw that Wicked City was available on Tubi for free, even though it's the dubbed version. So I don't know how you feel about that. It's like, obviously, yes, it would be better to watch the Japanese version that's subtitled, but, you know, the English dub version is fine. It's, you know, the dub is a little distracting, but it always is. I think it's less distracting with animation than live action,
because the mouths don't line up anyway.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So it doesn't bother me as much.
I'm real picky about anime. A lot of anime that I used to watch, you know, in the 90s and the 80s, was just incoherent, you know? There was a couple of them that the stories were pretty straightforward. You could follow it. One of the ones I remember was Go-Go 13. I really liked that one. Kind of like a Japanese James Bond / mafia assassin type guy. That was a pretty good one. But even Akira, I saw that, and there was the plot to Akira is kind of convoluted. The Japanese, well, there's a big difference in storytelling in the West and the East. The East kind of have a different structure to the stories that they tell, and from our point of view, it's not traditional, like, three-act type stuff, like Shakespearean.
Yeah, it's more like episodic.
Yeah.
Right. That's just the way they do shit. This one's a little bit like that, but not quite as much.
Not as bad. This one's pretty good. The tone is a lot like Blade Runner.
Yeah, and the look of it is kind of it's very much inspired by Blade Runner.
Imagine Blade Runner, but it's dealing with aliens, alien sex demons. Not aliens, but they're sex demons from another dimension, and they're kind of like the thing from The Thing.
Yeah, so it's like Blade Runner, The Thing, and hentai porn.
Yeah, and it's kind of I think it's early kind of hentai. It hasn't gone full blown. I would think that in 87. This would have been really cutting edge and really, really wild.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of tame by today's standards of what they make now in the hentai stuff. That's like a porn segment, you know? And it's just not...
This
is
pretty
porn.
It's
not porn.
It
has some pornographic scenes in it, kind of. But it's not a porn movie.
It teeters on the edge.
Yeah.
But it does have a story. And, yeah, some of the scenes are... There is tentacle rape. There is all kind of...
Extra-dimensional sex demons raping each other in the form of damn spiders, and all kinds of weird shit happens.
Melting
and
boobies.
Yeah.
Chest pussies.
Chest pussy. Tooth pussy. Just everything. All this fucking weirdest shit. And, like, one of the characters looks just like... I was calling him Sex Gollum, huh?
Sex Gollum,
I was calling him Sex Gollum. He was drawn kind of like Gollum from the old animated...
From The Hobbit.
Not the one after that. Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, yeah.
The old Lord of the Rings. The Ralph Bakshi kind of like that, except he had a little mustachio, and I'm going, is that a human?
I guess he was supposed to be a human.
No, remember he was
that's right. Okay. Yeah, that's right. I forgot.
He was a hybrid between a human and a demon.
Spoiler alert.
Which that's why he couldn't keep it in his pants. Because they're
Although,
like sex demons.
He couldn't keep it in his pants, too, because he was trying to manipulate... I don't know. We'll get into that. So, like I said, it's a spoiler. But like I said, this came out in 87. So on the movie retrospectives, I don't really worry so much about spoiling shit. And, you know. So just a little shit out of the way. So this actually is, because I assumed when we were watching it, because I'd only seen pieces of it. I'd never sat through the whole thing before. That I was like, well, this must be based on a book. It is. It's based on a book which is called Blackguard. And this is actually based on the first book in the series. There are six in the series. They were written by Hideyuki Kikuchi. Although this movie in particular, this adaptation, was the directorial debut of a very famous dude in anime. If you know anything about anime, you'll know what this dude's name is. It's Yoshiaki Kawajiri, who would later go on to do Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust. He would do Ninja Scroll. He would do like some really, really well-known ones. So on this one, he was not only the director, but he also designed the characters. He, you know, he did the storyboards. He was the animation director, and he also did a lot of the animation himself. So this is kind of his project. When they first asked him to do it, it was actually supposed to be, I guess what they call over there an OVA, which I think that's just like animation that's just going to like direct to video or direct to DVD or whatever. But after he showed them, it was only initially supposed to be 35 minutes long. But after he showed, you know, a sample of it, they liked it so much that they're like, okay, well, can you flesh it out to like 85 minutes and we'll release it in the theater, which they did for a short time. But that's kind of why. So maybe that might be why it has a little bit of that strange, like the pacing is a little strange, not that strange compared to some other anime I've seen. I'm just like, I'm like 10, 15 minutes in and I'm like, what in the blue fuck is going on in this fucking movie?
That's the thing that stands out. That's the thing that stands out to me is that the edit is good and the pacing is good. You can follow the story.
Yeah.
A lot of anime from this time and even beyond was just incomprehensible.
Yeah. And I think like, a lot is lost in the translation.
Yeah.
Maybe. Because I don't know, you know, I don't read a lot of, I don't read any manga. I don't really, haven't seen a lot of anime. So maybe if you're super into it, you know, it's a lot easier for you to parse because you know a lot about the cultural context and all this other kind of stuff. So
I could follow Appleseed. You guys probably know Appleseed. There was like a couple movies called Appleseed. I could follow it, but a lot of it didn't matter. It was just to show you something, you know, but genetically engineered kitty girls, you know, dancing around, just weird shit, you know, with tanks and mecha. And there was another one that was, Tank Police. I think it was Appleseed Tank Police. I get them all kind of confused. They're kind of samey. But this one kind of has its own kind of tone. The tone is Blade Runner, really.
And it has a very Blade Runner-y kind of look to it. Yeah. I mean, even the animation, I mean, you know, it looks like 1987 animation, but it's really nice animation. Like, the way that the shots are framed, very, very cinematic.
Good
it looks
shot
really
composition, good.
Good
edit. If you like vaporwave videos that have anime going, it's like that.
Yeah.
That same tone. And the soundscapes and the music was good. Very kind of vaporwave.
Yeah.
I liked it. Yeah.
So, okay. So the story behind this, behind Wicked City, is that it posits that there is the human world that most people know about. And then there's also a world of essentially sex demons.
Sex demons, yeah.
Which is known as the Black World.
Right. And you can have sex with them. It's supposed to be like mind-blowing sex.
Yeah.
But they kill you. Kind of like
it's a little bit of a problem.
Not all the time.
They
don't always kill you, but they...
Just if they kind of fucking feel like
it. So almost kind of like Hellraiser, too.
Yeah, a bit, now that you mention it.
Yeah.
So so basically, there are, in the human world and also in the Black World, there are these essentially Black Guards. And they're kind of like secret agents, I guess. Yeah. They have like normal jobs as a cover. But then their job is to kind of keep... Because I guess they say, like, there's a voiceover at the beginning, and the main character, Taki, who is one of these Black Guard characters, he is kind of talking about how there's been sort of an uneasy truce between the Black World and the human world for 1,000 years, I think he says.
Yeah. And the tone is very Deckard / 007.
Yeah.
It's like a combination of the two.
Yeah, he's like a secret agent, and he has, and he works at like an electric, like he's a salesman.
Secret agent / private eye.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
It's very much like that.
Yeah.
So, right from the jump, though, right after you find out about his job and about, there's two worlds, and there's like an uneasy truce, and we're trying to maintain that, but also there are like, I guess, radicals, as they call them, from the demon world that I guess just want to come over here and take over the shit. Yeah. So they always have to watch out for that kind of shit. So pretty much, as I said, like right from the outset, you know what kind of movie this is going to be, because Taki is in a bar talking to a bartender and he's like, yeah, man, I've been trying to butter. This isn't exactly what he says, but he's been trying to like butter up this woman for 3 months or whatever and trying to get laid. And cause he's kind of a player in this movie.
Well, he claims to be, but you don't really see that. You kind of do, but
well, sort of. Yeah. Well, unbeknownst to him, what has happened is that his date, who he's at the bar with, has gone to the bathroom, and another woman in there has killed her or knocked her out or something. They don't really say. I think she killed her. Yeah. So, because you just demon. See, like, a dead hand in there, and then the demon comes out looking like the girl.
Yeah.
So she's kind of like, hey, tonight's the night, big boy, you know, and he's like, woo, all right. And so, like, they go to his house or a hotel room or whatever, and, you know, they're fucking and whatnot. And like I said, it's pretty porny. And then, and I can't count the number of times I've had this happen.
Yeah.
She turns into a spider.
Yeah. Woman. She attacked him with some tooth pussy.
A spider woman, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's fucking weird.
Well, you don't know. I mean, I guess you do kind of know. They say this at the beginning, but she took his, I don't think, she didn't take his entire dick because he did, wasn't that upset about it, but she took his jizz, for sure.
Yeah, she was trying to get pregnant.
Yeah. Which you don't, like I said, you don't find that out or why until later on.
She's going, I got, you know, I got what I came for. And then she had a spider form. Looked like a woman in the shape of a spider, but only four legs.
Yeah. And like her.
With her fucking stockings on and all her fucking, with her fucking garter and everything.
I know. I was like, wow, those are pretty good stockings.
Yeah, she looked like a sex spider.
These are like particularly made, these particular stockings, for women that turn into spiders
right,
after sex, I guess. Yeah. And yeah, like you said, she has the vagina dentata going on with the tooth pussy.
Later on, you see she can shoot webs out of there.
Yeah.
Hang from the ceiling and shit.
All women can do that. We're just keeping it a secret.
Yeah.
But yeah. but
they can kind of morph too, you know. They can become fluid when they need to. They're not solid. They're a lot like the thing. They're a lot like the alien from The Thing.
Yeah, like you know, tentacles bust out of them, like fucking iron bar rib cages come out and grab you and shit like that. It's crazy.
They can infect you, but I think they can kind of infect each other, because that happened to that girl. Remember, a piece jumped off and went up her sleeve.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was like, I don't know if, like, all the demons have the same powers, because they all have different looking shit. Like, some of them are like, hey, got these tentacles coming out of my chest pussy. Some of them are like, you know, got a toothed vagina and spider legs. And then some of them were kind of like, well, you can cut my head off, but then I turn into, like, bubbling green goo and I regenerate myself, you know.
Taki tried to shoot one of them one time in the old sex, the sex golem says, no, don't shoot it. You'll break it into 1,000 pieces and it'll just run off.
Yeah, and then it'll, like, I don't know if it'll make reproduce. A whole bunch of them or whatever.
Yeah. You're right, yeah.
But so, okay, so after this whole incident, what ends up happening is that Taki is given a new assignment by his boss. And he's like, basically, there is this, as we call him, the sex golem.
Sex golem.
It's this little person who looks like...
Looks like a person, kind of. Looks like Gollum with the...
Yeah, sort of like Gollum. He has like a
little...
little
Chinese master fucking facial hair.
Yeah, with that kind of thing going on. Like, you know, the dude from Gremlins
he's
that sold
slut.
Him the Mogwai.
Dude's a slut.
He is. And he's like a little tiny, like, child size. And he has this really weird, sweatsuit on. Like a little blue, like...
Yeah, he's dressed
like a little workout suit with little tennis shoes.
Yeah.
And he is annoying as shit. But there's a reason for that, too, because it's the whole time I'm watching it, and I'm sitting there going, what the fuck is the deal? It's like, with this dude and everything. So this dude, whose name, what the fuck is his name? Myart? Yeah. Giuseppe Myart. that's his name. He's like some kind of diplomat.
Yeah.
And he is coming into town, into Tokyo, where this is set, and he is supposed to, like, sign this new treaty
between
human world and demon world, and he's really, really important. So Taki is tasked with protecting this fucker, because apparently he's, like, some of the demon radicals and stuff like that want to kill him.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a plane blows up, and all of a sudden they're like, holy shit, he was on there, the radicals got him, but he was already there, because he's like, hey, man, I figured this shit out beforehand. So when he's at the airport... you know, like going there to pick this dude up, like, he gets attacked by two radicals and, like, all kind of tentacle fun ensues. And so I guess at this point he is given another partner named Makia.
Yeah.
And she's a blackguard, but she's from the demon world.
Yeah, she's a sex demon chick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And her cover is a model.
Yeah, she looks like a model,
And he gives her, like, all these lines about how annoyingly perfect she is and all this other kind of stuff.
She's got all these supernatural powers, biological powers and stuff.
Yeah.
So they got to protect this little Giuseppe dude. he's part demon. You don't really know that until a bit later.
And he is just like
constantly laying it on thick. Give me some of the good stuff, baby. He's trying to grab her ass constantly.
Yeah, they're like in the car, and I'm so, at this
point. He's telling
her
to take her to the fucking. He wants to go to the escort. Fucking, he wants to go order escorts and shit. And
he is like a really sexually charged child.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's like this little tiny gremlin-like creature.
Yeah.
And they're just supposed to. They're like, look, we're just supposed to protect you. Until tomorrow, like when you sign the ship, because you're really important and we don't want you to get assassinated. And so they're like, we have to take you to this one particular hotel. Nobody else is staying in the hotel. It has like all these demon repelling shit around it or whatever.
Turns out his dude's like 200 years old.
He's like 200 years old.
You find out later. Yeah.
He's right super, super rapey. I mean, yeah. Because Makia is like sitting in the back seat and I'm sitting there going, man, if it was me, I'd have been like, hey, Taki, can I please sit in the front seat instead of back
here? Well, it doesn't bother her. She's
handsy, mahandy.
It doesn't bother her. She's a sex demon anyway.
That's true.
You know what I'm talking about? They come from the sex.
She's like, yep, this is how shit goes.
It's a hellish sexual dimension that they come from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's like, you know, just getting your boob honked by a sex colon in the back seat of a car is just like no big, I guess. So they take him to this hotel. He is having a huge whiny fit because he has all these porno magazines, like escort mags, and he's just like, I want to go to the fucking whatever they call it.
Go to Playboy Club.
Yeah, he wants to go to the Playboy Club and you know, get his dick wet or whatever.
Yeah.
Which I think, I guess in Japanese parlance, that's called Soapland. The Soapland property. Soap yeah. So he wants to go to one of those, and they're just like, no, shut up and just like go to sleep. We're supposed to be protecting you. But then some of the demon radicals somehow get into the hotel, attack Taki and the
this other guy
who's like the maitre d' or the owner of the hotel or manager or whatever.
He's one of them too. He's a secret agent too.
That's kind of what I thought, but I wasn't real clear on that.
I think
he set it all
the
up.
The secret agents controlled that whole hotel from what I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they fight this demon. And then during that part, during that part, the little sex golem dude fucking escapes out the back and goes to...
Well, he climbs out the window
goes to
Soapland.
They show him and he's talking all this shit with this...
So is there a sex scene with the sex golem? Oh, yeah.
Kind of, yeah. It's not real graphic, but yeah. And it's funny, though. It's kind of like comedic relief. Turns out she's a demon, too. She turns into this damn... She tries to absorb him. She turns into a fucking... A pile of goo, really. She gets all gooey and tries to suck him into her fucking belly, remember?
It's something.
Yeah, they were trying to pull him out and everything.
because he's like touching the boob and he's like, ooh, it's all melty like wax. And he's like, oh shit. And she's like,
she escapes, my
body.
Yeah, she escapes to get him back. They try to take him to the car and they get attacked by another demon, remember?
Yep, that's right.
And that demon captures the female agent.
Yeah.
From the other dimension. And then he takes the old sex golem dude, takes him to a took him to a
He got hurt, so they had to take him to this like clinic somewhere.
Like a clinic, right.
Because that was, you know, they can't just take him anywhere.
Him up,
because,
using high technology on him, fixing him
putting
up.
Putting him in a tank with a bunch of shit.
During that time, Taki gets like a psychic image in the damn ground of his ex-partner. She's being like gang raped by all these demons.
Yeah, there's a lot of rape in this movie.
And it's like bondage, you know. They got her all handcuffed and shit. She's a demon too, so I guess it's just kind of normal for them. That's all they do. Because every time you see one, it's some kind of sex demon. It's a sex demon, and they're in a sex hell, sex dimension.
I mean, the one probably one of the most famous scenes in this is her getting like the tentacle going in the mouth, like this children should not watch this.
No,
it's animated,
no.
But children should not watch this by any stretch of the imagination. Right. Like I said, it's borderline porn.
So they said, you know, were you going to use her up and kill her? You can rescue her. You can try to you can rescue her if you want to try. And he was like, yeah, where is she? I'll go rescue her. You know, cause she was ready to give her life and shit to fucking save the client, save them. So the little green ball takes him to the location. He was following it in a car, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he gets there, and it's just a whole gang of damn demons in an abandoned... It wasn't clear if it was in another dimension or not.
Yeah, I didn't really get that. I don't know if
it
was somewhere in this dimension that they just... Right. I think it was another dimension because they were, like, showing it to him, like, in the... Like a black pool on the sidewalk or whatever.
He gets in there, fucking gets in a big fight with all these demons to get her back. It's pretty cool.
He has a special demon-killing gun.
Yeah, and the gun is kind of borrowed from Blade Runner. It's a revolver. It's a like a 3-7 Magnum, but it's got a real big heavy barrel on it. It's kind of triangular, and it's got some stuff in there, and it just shoots a damn blue ray bullet. It's got rounds, six rounds and shit. Looked like 37 Magnum, maybe 44 Magnum, something like that.
Yeah.
But you could tell that they kind of styled it after Deckard's gun.
Yeah. Like I said, the look of this is very, very Blade Runner.
Yeah.
And it's the story is sort of like Blade Runner.
Yeah.
A little bit. Like, just in the kind of, you know, generalities.
He keeps doing a voiceover like the old original edit of Blade Runner where he's talking to himself, like Deckard talking to himself.
Yeah,
he's like that. Or explaining to you what it is he's doing.
What it is that's going on.
Right.
Which I kind of appreciate, because when a world is this, I don't know, this one wasn't real complicated compared to, like, some other anime. This one's fairly easy to follow.
Yeah.
But even then, if you didn't have the voiceover, I'm not entirely sure that I would know what was going on.
No, you wouldn't.
I don't think I would.
There's not enough dialogue in it.
Yeah. So, so at this stage, there's, like, a huge fight, and then you think, don't you at one point, you think, so, you know, people's arms get shot off, a dude punches a dude, like, right through the face, all the way through his head. You know, it's pretty rad. Eyeballs popping out everywhere. Yeah. It's pretty gross. And, so then, at some point, don't you think that Taki and Makia, like, you think they both get killed, but then suddenly they wake up, and they're in a weird church somewhere?
Yeah, that's right.
You remember that it's all like, oh, like all heaven. They think they're in heaven, or it's like, are we dead? What's going on? Well, I don't know. Let's fuck. So they do.
Yeah.
Because that's the first thing you think of.
Taki's boss told him, said, don't screw this chick.
You know,
that's a demon, you know. You keep it in your pants type of deal. He did it anyway. And it turned out that they could crossbreed. Humans and demons could crossbreed.
Well, they were the only two that could do that in this generation. That's why they had been manipulated.
Yeah.
Because you find out at the end, spoiler alert, that Sex Gollum, you know, the really annoying guy, everything that he had done in the movie was to manipulate Taki into falling in love with Makia and impregnating her.
Yeah.
Because these two, they had determined through their genetic, they somehow they knew what their genetic like shit was.
Yeah.
And they're just like, these two are the only ones that will be able to bear a half human, half demon hybrid. And hopefully that will kind of help unify.
Yeah, they're trying to make the peace treaty.
The peace treaty.
Yeah, and then it was funny is that, like, part of it, you know, they had, like, a religious fetish going on. Because the Japanese, you know, if you know the Japanese, they're kind of crypto-Christian, a lot of them. I've known a lot of them that were kind of like that. Because Shinto doesn't really have a concept of, like, a centralized god in an afterlife in the way that Christianity does. So they're kind of crypto-Christian, and they kind of fetishize it, even though they don't quite understand it.
Well, they like all the imagery.
They like the imagery, and they like the concept, and they get confused. Sometimes you'll see shit like Christmas and Christianity mixed together like Santa Claus on a cross. You'll see shit like
that. Which, if I could find a fucking toy of that, I'm just putting that, I'm going to put that on the front door at Christmas time. We're getting that where someone will set our house on fire.
I haven't seen that in a long time. And I don't know if the Japanese people that did it were joking or not. But I was just like,
I kind of suspect they were. Because, like, for a time, I thought maybe that was an urban legend or somebody was just kidding.
No.
But I don't really know.
There was some kind of crossover between Jesus and Christmas. So,
you can see why that happened.
But anyway, in this story, they have to get married in a ceremony, and it's a Christian ceremony. That was part of the sex magic.
Yeah.
So there's kind of like fetishized Christianity going on in this. It's like
along with tentacle.
Along with tentacle force. This is a trip. Yeah.
And chest pussies. Toothed spider vaginas.
Yeah.
And, you know, and people punching through other people's heads. It's fun for the whole family, is what I'm saying. It's really not. Yeah. And then, you know, melting prostitute boobies and all kind of shit. That, I think, you know what? I think that was probably my favorite scene was that, I don't know why, it's just, there was something I really liked about that little fucking sex golem being like, yay, boobies. And then he's like, oh no. And then he was getting all like, fucking, she was all like half melted like a fucking candle or some shit like that. if you've never seen any anime, this might be, as long as you know what you're getting into, because like I said, this is borderline porn, so don't let kids watch it or nothing like that, because it's pretty fucked up. There's a pretty fucked up imagery in this.
Yeah.
A lot of it very, very sexual. There's a lot of rape. It's just like really, and like I said, it's not so shocking nowadays because, you know, we have the internet and everyone's seen everything.
You see all that shit.
But 1987, I can imagine that this was kind of like, when kids in the U.S. particularly probably saw it, they were probably like, what the fuck. Just, you know what I mean?
I remember that era, you know, in the late 80s. you know, when you're in your late teens, Japanese anime seemed very, very adult.
Yeah.
Especially compared to what you were used to in terms of American animation.
Yeah, because you didn't really get a lot, other than Heavy Metal and Fire and Ice and stuff.
It was hard to find.
Yeah, you didn't get a lot of American or North American animation that was geared toward adults.
Even though at my age, I look at it, and a lot of shit's really fucking juvenile.
It is.
A lot of the ideas were juvenile. But I think it was kind of aimed at the Japanese male audience between like 16 and 18. That's probably what it was kind of aimed at. Maybe early 20s, I don't know.
Probably same as, say, Heavy Metal.
Yeah.
That seemed, it was aimed toward, like, teenage guys.
Yeah, late teenage guys. Yeah.
Or, like, early 20s guys.
Right.
Which, same kind of thing. But even by that standard, though, I mean, Heavy Metal is kind of smutty.
Yeah.
You know, there's big titties and stuff.
Yeah. It had to be. What are you talking about?
Yeah. That's but, I mean, Wicked City, this is a whole other kettle of fish. It's like, is it sexy? Depends on what you're into, I guess. Yeah. I'm not judging.
The heavy metal the Heavy Metal animated movie was, like I said, it was R-rated. It wasn't X-rated. It was R-rated.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid, the Heavy Metal magazines that you could buy, they were illustrated.
I remember those.
They were comic book magazines, but they were thick, you know. They weren't really like a DC comic book. These things were full color, high quality. I haven't seen one in a long time. They were fucking very sexual and very violent, but they were really well done. They had cool stories. Some of them went along for fucking mini issues. I think some of them were broken up and put in. I think, what was the name? Ren. Right? No, what was the name of that?
Den.
Yeah, Den was in
the
Heavy
one that
Metal.
You had, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was broken up and put into Heavy Metal, and there's a bunch of other really good ones, you know, fucking war-type shit happening in the future. But I'd probably say that Japanese anime, when it got to this level, it was way ahead in terms of like what was acceptable. It was like border and hentai shit. And Heavy Metal wouldn't go that far.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I feel like they showed some sex and like big tits and all that kind of stuff. But they wouldn't, this is just like nightmarish.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think in Heavy Metal they would have shown like a woman with a tooth vagina that shot spider webs out of it.
No. And in Heavy Metal they wouldn't actually show sex. They would just kind of suggest it a little bit.
Yeah.
It wasn't graphic. It was kind of like Playboy level.
Yeah.
You know, not even Hustler. And it was all illustrated. Everything was supposed to be, you know, amazing proportions on fucking the men and the women.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it was fantasy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean...
I guess this is too.
This is too, but like I said,
perverted
there's...
Perverted shit.
Yeah, it's perverted fantasy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't mean that like in a derogatory way. I'm just saying, so you know what you're getting into. It's very sci-fi, it's very horror, there's a lot of horrific imagery, and a lot of it is sexually charged.
Deviant, too.
And it's... Yeah, so that's what I mean. So I don't think you would have seen that, especially not in 1987.
Not in 87, right, yeah.
In the United States, not by a long stretch. But interestingly, something that I didn't really know that much about, I saw it on the Wikipedia page, that in 1992, there was actually a live-action, sort of a remake of this, even though the story is kind of different, called The Wicked City. Now, I didn't get a chance to watch it, but I did watch Brandon Tennell did a breakdown of it. It looked dumb as hell.
Dumb, yeah.
Well, the thing about it, it seemed like the story at first was kind of the same. Because they're like, look, they have a dude named Taki, and he's, you know, a blackguard or whatever. Although, in the anime, he's kind of like a big, and a little bit of a player, like I said, or, you know, at least he seems kind of slick and smooth more than anything. In the live action, when he was kind of dorky. Also, after the initial setup, they don't do the whole thing about, having with the diplomat or anything like that. Their whole thing is there's this drug that came from the other dimension, and I think the people in the other dimension are called Reptars rather than demons or Blackguard or whatever they call them. I think they're called Reptars or something like...
I haven't seen a second.
Right, something to do with that. And the special effects in it, not good. There is some sex in it, but it's not nearly as explicit as the anime. It didn't look that great. And honestly, Brandon was saying, and he watches a lot of anime, he's like, Wicked City as an anime is like actually the animated one is actually pretty straightforward and like fairly easy to follow as long as you're like listening to what everyone's saying. And he's like, but this one, the live action one, he's like, I had no fucking idea what was going on. So it's just really, really strangely edited. There's just like all kind of crazy shit going on. And like I said, I didn't really even know it existed until I had seen the other one. But it looks pretty bad. I haven't read any of the books or anything, so I don't know how closely it hews to the source material. But if you don't mind watching an English dub, I'm sure you can probably find the Japanese one somewhere, and I'm sure that that's superior because it always is. But if you're interested, and if you've never seen any anime and want to see some weird like tentacle rape, which like I said, I'm not judging.
It's just not acceptable. But the shit wasn't acceptable then, and it isn't acceptable now. But they had it anyway. That was the whole idea. It was basically a fuck you.
Yeah.
I mean, and in defense of heavy metal was kind of tame in comparison to this.
Yeah.
But heavy metal still wasn't tame. It was
no.
It was good. It was good. It's just the tastes were different. You know, it's not Japanese people making these stories. It's Americans. So it's going to have an American flavor. I'm just trying to stand up for heavy metal. Heavy metal wasn't fucking...
Well, it was doing a different
thing. It was just a different thing. You're right, yeah.
And the thing about it is, like, I'm not really sure, because I'm not from Japan, I'm not really sure how acceptable... I mean, obviously, like, little kids wouldn't be watching this, or they wouldn't be showing it on regular TV, like, back in 1987. But it does seem to me that it was a lot more acceptable culturally. I mean, I don't remember reading anything about it getting censored particularly
Japan has a much higher fucking tolerance to anything that we would consider perversion. I mean, their porn industry is fucking giant and includes things that were not legal here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and evidently it's not real low key. You know what I mean? So everybody knows all that.
Yeah,
this really wouldn't be all that fucking
controversial
in Japan.
Over there.
Just
that's
here,
what I was
it is.
Thinking.
Right.
Yeah, because here, you just showed this somewhere in 1987, everyone would come after you with pitchforks, probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's on Tubi for free. The English dub is. If you're interested, you should definitely go check it out. Like I said, I'm not a huge anime fan, but I'm actually really glad I saw it, because it's actually pretty cool. You know, the animation looks pretty cool. It's like the imagery is really cool, really horrific. And, I kind of dug it. I don't know if I'm going to be watching a lot more anime, because like I said... Some of it is a little bit...
Most of it's mediocre. Just got to say, the storytelling's mediocre on a lot of it.
Yeah. But I mean, if you really liked, you know, shit like Vampire Hunter D or, you know, Ninja Scroll or something like that, and if you want to see where that guy kind of started out, then this would be a good thing to watch. And you can, like I said, if you're in the U.S., you can watch it on Tubi for free. So go and check it out. It's called Wicked City. And we'll see you on the next one. Bye.